So two schools of thought exist, the greater and the lesser mysteries. You stay with me?
Come on with it.
Here we go. The greater mysteries teach as Yeshua, Isa, Jesus, Sananda, Tammuz, whatever name you want to give them, whatever culture again, that your path is back to the bosom of the Father. He says it. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but by me. Then he was merely the chauffeur to the Father. You follow that? But then he said, I am the Father all on. When you see me, you see the Father. And I am not greater than you. And you'll even do greater wonders than I.
That's right.
And I gotta go prepare a place for you that where I may be, you may. So certain men, or women, and or women, are destined for a journey from here back to the bosom of the Most High. And certain men and or women are destined to stay here and worship. Some beings are perfecting themselves to become God, and other beings will always worship God. People of the lesser mysteries are the religious people. They worship God in spirit and in truth, away from themselves. People of the greater mysteries are like the uncut stone that's on that side, Ashlar, that becomes cut to become a perfect stone. Become a part of the building blocks of the Most High, you put it. You with me? Some of you here are of the lesser mysteries, and some of you here of the higher mysteries. But the sad thing of it is, do you want the truth or you want me to play the game with anybody else?
Come on with it.
I'm saying that because sometimes when you tell the truth, it's bitter to people. And they get mad at you. They don't really want to hear the whole truth. They want to hear what the man puts in books. And they got, they're real good at referring to white man's books.
Right.
And quoting his books against anything a Nubian has to say.
Right.
But I'll take you directly to the language so you can see it, so we can dispel this part of the spell right now.
Come on with it.
You with me?
Come on with it.
The unification is here. The power to bring all those forces, all those incarnations into one being to come back out and solve the problem, whether you accept me or not. And as I watch with a keen eye at all the teachings out there, I wait to hear that something new or that something special that would let me know that another God had incarnated. I want to hear things that would cue in that he is not or she is not trapped in the mind tetrahedron of persons, places, and things. And he's thinking outside of that realm, which would tell me he's a visitor, not a resident. He would do it a little differently. You understand me? I'll do it piece by piece. So this has got to go as old information. The unification is here. The power to bring all those forces, all those incarnations into one being to come back out and solve the problem, whether you accept me or not. And as I watch with a keen eye at all the teachings out there, I wait to hear that something new or that something special that would let me know that another God had incarnated. I want to hear things that would cue in that he is not or she is not trapped in the mind tetrahedron of persons, places, and things. And he's thinking outside of that realm, which would tell me he's a visitor, not a resident. He would do it a little differently. You understand me? I'll do it piece by piece. So this has got to go as old information.
Elf. I tell you, sir.
Touchdown.
I'd like to welcome one, everyone out here at our temple in Decatur, Georgia, as well as everyone on the internet listening or will be listening to this broadcast. My name is Imhotep, a student teacher of our master teacher, Padma Babi Anum, also known to us as Dr. Malachi Kobinas or Dr. York, our master teacher, father, friend, guide, and warner. As always, we like to first start off by stating his innocence, his false kidnapping and incarceration, and letting the world know that we'll free our teacher, that he is innocent of all charges, that the president of our tribe will be free, and that is our goal and purpose, one of our goals and purposes in this day and time, and to reawaken the world to Wunuwa or Nuwapu, our way of life, an ancient way of life which has been re-given to us from our master teacher, Padma Babi Anum, in this day and time. As always, we are fortunate that even in his incarceration, we still get affirmation that he would like relayed. The sisters who go up so graciously come back and give us some of the things he's taught, things he's expressed, and we give those out as updates. So I'll get right into the updates. If you have any questions afterwards, feel free. I'll do my best to answer the questions you might have. Roll back, yes, sir. Says, in the world scene, the plane that disappeared was first from Malaysia, a Muslim country, and they weren't really giving any details. These are just distractions from what is really going on in the world. Have you all been paying attention to what is going on in the news? The Ox is fighting for the number one spot. A young comedian was making jokes about how the powerful eagle, America, and how powerful he was and how the world was scared from his presence in other countries. But the Ox is disregarding the eagle, who says they will put sanctions on the Ox, which the Ox disregards again because the Ox is owned by the dragon. They sent Kerry to negotiate, however, he represents Israel, so it's not really being taken seriously. All this is in the sixth thunder that you'll see in the back of the Holy Tablets, which our master teacher transcribed years ago. And the sixth thunder says, changes occur, the star people return, signs in the skies, new planets, new galaxies, meteorite storms, climatic alterations, global warming, spiritual revivals, the presence of divine, disregard and respect for present world governments, leadership, and politics. Sounds about right for this day and time, doesn't it? There was a meteor shower, well, a series of them, last week. There was one that was particularly close that occurred on March 5th, 2014, that was said to have been very close to Pakawataha, the planet Earth. Yet it missed the Earth, but it dropped off a virus. Many of the hybrid beings are seen on shows where they are debunking the facts surrounding UFO existence, supplying explanations of what could have been seen, but it is too late for that. Too many people have cell phones and handheld cameras, so they can't easily cover up the UFO presence. Now you see Paula Banu saying all sorts of things about how these bones were discovered in Europe and are older than this or that, but don't believe them. The Bible is outdated, and many things look silly now. Sodom and Gomorrah was a city that is theorized to have been destroyed because of homosexuality. So what then will happen with all the states that have legalized same-sex marriages, according to the Bible? There is even an Egyptian papyrus that speaks about flying saucers, noted by Pharaoh Thutmose III. The papyrus is called the Tali papyrus. Here is an excerpt from it. In the year 22, or the third month of winter, sixth hour of the day, among the scribes of the House of Life, it was found that a strange, fiery disk was coming in the sky. It had no head. The breath of its mouth emitted a foul odor. Its body was one rod in length and one rod in width. It had no voice. It came toward His Majesty's house. After several days had passed, they became more numerous in the sky than ever. They shined in the sky more than the brightness of the sun and extended to the limits of the four swords of heaven. Powerful was the position of the fiery disc. The NOI newspapers read that the messenger, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, was Christ, and Farad was the Mahdi. For all those true followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they know that this was not what the messenger said, and do not accept this. Yet the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did speak about one that would come after him with the Book of Lamb. It would bring a new Arabic. Padnabab Yanum has brought us so much more. We need to carry out our assignments, each one teach one. There is sexual discrimination, which is a plow, ploy, to destroy the gatekeepers, who were the original deities of the planet, children of the beings of Sirius and Orion. There is also a flip side, as natural nature is balanced. Those same races who persecuted the Negro with their prejudices according to the color of skin are now feeling the same persecution. Many of the staunch races, like skinheads, are the biggest homosexuals, so they will now be feeling the same persecution and discrimination. Karma is real, and natural nature is in control. Supreme balancement. All life originated in Africa from one root race. Other beings came to this planet and made genetic alterations, which are still occurring today, where there are more abductions because agreements were made with the government, like former President Eisenhower, who made deals for technology in exchange the extraterrestrials were able to abduct as many people and mutilate cows for body parts. For instance, what is the strongest muscle in the body? The eye. Not because of the muscle strength, yet because of its matrix. Certain organs were extracted with precision from the cows, the eyes, and other vital organs of the body. Cows and humans are the same line genetically, and humans were drained of their adrenaline. Adrenaline prolongs life. Do you all remember the cinema movie The Dark Crystal, where they drain the Geflings of the essence so the Skechers would stay young? It's all about stem cells and a hybrid race. All empires that do not respect natural nature become extinct. Panan Kawan Pasadak. And that was the update for the visit the sisters had this week. And we can see that a lot of the things that Father Babi Anun is explaining are actually events or occurrences that he's been talking about for years. Especially the collapse of world government, how the Russia and China and the dragon in America, how they're still at war, and the coming third world war, and the diseases and things like that, that they're so prevalent now, and because of the internet, and like the master said, cell phones, cameras, and things like that, everything can't be hidden as it once was. And we're going to move into a new day and time where a lot of the so-called deceptions which they placed upon us, they can no longer get away with. You follow? And a lot of these things are transcribed in some of our latest publications. You know, some of the latest information for called the Master Secrets. We're seeing now about the genetic manipulation and what's been encoded in our DNA and how it was encoded for us to reawaken and stay and die. Some of it, as the Master explained, was encoded on our 24th atom called the chromium. And how in that complete cell, they encoded select information for us to reawaken and change this day and time, and how the different tests and different achievements we'd have to make within this 24,000 year cycle so that we'll be able to make that bawaba or the gateway, and how they're trying to keep the gatekeepers, they're persecuting them now so that they won't be a reawakened and they won't be raised enough time so that bawaba for those tones, called the Fatah or Fatah, that opening that would not be open. So as we know, as the master been explained, as we lost, already missed another opening, that we have to get prepared. You follow? And with that, it was an older lesson which the master teacher, Pala Babi Anun, had gave us as a triad. And I'll go over it because it makes even more perfect sense now as the master is raising us in levels and things we should be prepared for. And it will explain some of the reasons why we see so many of us fall away and get stuck in different lessons or get stuck in different schools. So I'll go over it real quickly and hopefully it will make a lot of sense and reawaken some of the things that's happening right now, or make you reawaken to see why certain things are happening. It was called the nine gates to irrealities. And the master was explaining how we go through nine gates on the pathway to becoming God. And he said the first gate is knowledge. It's when we begin to knowing things. And we can all remember going through that when we didn't have knowledge of self, and all of a sudden we suddenly acquired knowledge of self from whatever school it could be. That was the first gate of reawakening. So the second gate is wisdom, in which we learn to the right time to apply our knowledge. The third gate is understanding, when we learn the combination of knowledge and wisdom. The fourth gate is reasoning, when we begin to reason based on our understanding. The fifth gate is when we learn about our spiritual selves. The sixth gate is the gate of disagreeables and negative thinking. The seventh gate is the gate of religious fanatics. Everything is religion. The eighth gate is the gate of the cultural fanatics. You'll see them with their Black Panther button on, kente cloth, wearing an ankh, and a Haile Selassie patch. So we run across them. The ninth gate is the gate where we begin to think that we are gods, and that there is more to everything than what it appears, which causes us to go back to the beginning. The beginning will be the first gate is now right knowledge. We have a right knowledge of everything we've been taught and we've learned throughout our transitioning of learning or growing. The second gate is right wisdom. The third gate is right overstanding. The fourth gate is now right reasoning. The fifth gate is the reality of spirituality. The sixth gate is the reality of disagreeables. The seventh gate is the reality of religion. The eighth gate is the reality of culture. And the ninth gate is the reality of God. And the master explained that at the ninth point, we realized that the first nine gates were not really reality at all, but an irreality. And only when we went through them again did we see them through reality. However, it is easy to get caught up in any one of them. That's why most people won't make it to the ninth gate. And those that do make it to the ninth gate, many times get stuck with fear and fall back into one of the previous gates, because the ninth gate is the reality of God, and everyone can't face that. There are demons on the sixth gate that attempt to get you stuck there with negative thinking and disagreeable acts and thoughts. The reality of God is that behind a mask, that he is behind a mask. And once you get to the ninth gate, you are obligated to go behind the mask and look back on existence through the eyes of God as a God, and be responsible for what comes with that. And that's very important in this day and time, because a lot of times we hear people say how good it was back in the day, how strong we were, how united we were, and don't realize we were that way when we were praying and bowing and prostrating. We were in religion. But as the master gave up all that to walk us to a further path, that now we as Nuapu should be able to now put on that mask of God that the master taught us over all these years, and look back through everything we've experienced and everything we've been through and everything that's happening in the world today and the predicament we find ourselves in now, and become responsible as Nuapu, children of Paladaru, to act as gods would act. And in doing so, we will accomplish those different tasks which the Master said the ancestors, the elders, the watchers have put before us. Instead of looking for someone else to step in and do the work for us, we'll become responsible as gods and goddesses and do the work ourselves. So if you look at many of the publications which the Master put out, the Mind Book, the Your Potential Book, the Potteracts, the Actual Facts, and look at all these things, as we keep saying and wanting more information in the newest publication, in the newest scroll, and look at all the detailed instructions which the Master gave us throughout all those inscriptions, and now we should be enacting those things. And we would regain our God-like nature again. You follow what I'm saying? We would do the things that gods and goddesses do. We would accomplish all those things. You follow? It's interesting, if you really do any research, and you see positive thinkers and successful individuals and things like that, and in doing a study of that, we learn that all the things they've done, all the accomplishments, the way they think, their health habits, their dietary habits, their exercise habits, reading habits, work habits, all those things were bundled up within our master teaching. So sometimes we look at it and we miss the miracle of having God in the flesh amongst us to show us the way and how to do it. You follow what I'm saying? If you look at the back of the newest series called The Master's Secret, it says the beginning. If you remember through all the scrolls, we had the beginning, the holy tablets, the middle path, we had the hereafter, and now the Master is saying a new beginning. So in this sun cycle, we have to start anew and start acting as gods and goddesses again. You follow? And reawaken that magic which is Nuwapu, Owu Nuwapu. You follow? Reawaken that. So if there are any questions on any of the updates, any information, I'll do my best to see if I can help you out. Like I said, if you look at those different gates, you'll see where a lot of ex-Nuwapians or so-called Nuwapians at different times, or family members or what have you, they got stuck at different gates and couldn't make that journey. You follow what I'm saying? Or you find some who was with you all along and got stuck in that gate of disagreeables. And they got close to the end and found out, you know, this is really not for me. I'm on the other side of things. You know, they couldn't help it. But these are just different pathways or different life experiences that we go through on that journey we have. You know, that the master teacher, Padma Babi Anum, is walking us toward. And it's all in preparation again for that opening of the gateway, the Bawaba. That the master explained that we need the four hermaphrodites in the four corners with the dual vibration tone, and him as the golden child with the three tones in one, which would be the true Ayin principle, Atum, Atun, and Amun. Those would activate that opening or that stargate that we have to make it through. So the master explained in the update and how the prejudices against these gatekeepers is a problem in his day and time as well. You follow? Something that we have to be aware of. And it was a publication, I can't remember, somebody might remember it, but the master explained it was an African tribe who also spoke of these gatekeepers. And what was it? The Gara tribe. You can do some research on that too as well for the gatekeepers. But it's all very important in this day and time. Samita, you remember how to spell that? D-A-G-A-R-A. Any other questions? Oh, that was from a papyrus from ancient Egypt.
Was that
That was the actual happening that they were reporting. Yeah, it's called the Tulli Papyrus, T-U-L-L-I, Papyrus. The Tulli, if I'm pronouncing it right, T-U-L-L-I, Papyrus. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Take it.
Hachep. Who are the star people that's returning?
The star people? Well, you have many different extraterrestrials, as the master explained, which are coming back and forth. You follow the Pleiadians who are coming back, reptilians, as well as our family, the Nathoru. And that's one we're waiting for. And that's where we're trying to get that gateway open and free our master teachers so that can be open. Because it's the master explained, when involving the opening of the gateway and returning to the ancient ones, and how it all has to be synced up. It's an alignment. You follow? It's not just coming, trying to want free come. When you're talking about space travel, the master explained that there are different time zones, There are different, basic gateways or doors you have to go through in making this journey. These doors open up at specific times. You follow? It also has to do with the planet Earth and Mars, because there'll be a stop in Mars. And it all has to line up at specific times. You follow? It's like taking a multi-stop flight when you're going from one, example, where you have to make each stop and reboard, things like that, at a specific time. The same thing is happening with our journey out, where we have to make specific times. You follow? Where these vortexes open up. And that's where the master explained that 2030 is the last time it will open up. You follow? And he said that years ago in the Holy Tablets. So we're getting closer to that time where before, if we don't make it, as the master explained, where they're going to let the skies open up. And that's when these disagreeable beings who are coming here for food will just run rampant. You follow? So you have many different star beings coming. And some are being held back in actuality in order for us to prepare ourselves, the children of the Thoru. And years ago, the master explained how in actuality, this planet had already been sold. It was sold to extraterrestrials, and they were not permitted to touch the Nagaru race. You follow? And said when these star beings came and made agreements and bought this planet, they did it under the assumption that this planet was like a one world rulership, which it is not, because there are different children of different extraterrestrials here. And the master explained how they stepped in to allow us a time to prepare ourselves to make it back out of here. You follow? And it's also explained that in the Holy Tablets, and how this planet has been quarantined because of the amount of negative energy that's contained here. You follow? So all this is going on presently. It has been going on. Okay? Tell you.
Hachep. When you're talking about the reality of God in the second part of the nine.
Correct.
When you look behind the mass of God, is that when you turn into a divinity, like the Holy Tablets are saying, or are we already doing that right now?
No. When the master was speaking about going through that ninth gate and looking back to the mass of God, he gave us an analogy like the Wizard of Oz. The story he gave us was that when they were trying to get something accomplished, they had to go to the Wizard of Oz, and they found that the Wizard of Oz was a fraud. And the Wizard of Oz told him, remember the movie, he's behind this big mask, and he's, loud voice and all powerful, and they exposed him, and he said, well, you had the power all along. It was you. All you had to do was click your you heal three times and go home. You follow? And the master explained the story, it sucks to us, in that we have to become responsible for our own going home. There is no savior or God coming for us as spoken about in religion. That if you be good and you be nice to people and you accept Jesus, that it's coming. And it's not like that. We have to become gods and goddesses and make it happen for ourselves. You follow what I'm saying? It was spoken of in that manner. And when you become God, you literally become responsible for everything about your life. You become responsible for your finances, for your family, for your health, for your education, for your mental status, for your spirituality. You literally become responsible to raise all those levels yourself. You follow? That's what he was referring to.
Hotel. When you were just speaking about the alignment and lining up.
Correct.
Like you say you make different stops. Now with the planets lining up, does that have to do with the stars? Because when you look up at certain nights, it's different formation and everything?
That's just actually doing with the, we're actually on a planet ship, actually, if you think about it. And the master explained, Father Babi Noon explained how we're just on a rock floating around in space, and as this in a circular pattern, all right, which is the way the universe and the solar system is all arranged in a circular pattern. And as we spin, we're just seeing different stations of the actual 24 signs of the Endura zodiac as we go throughout the, we're seeing different constellations. That has something to do with the alignment insofar as at certain points that we make is when it's time to go. We follow, and we have to be ready for that moment when the master said he will speak to us in our head and we'll know what to do at that moment in order to make that jump. You follow? And we have to be taught certain tones and vibrations and things like that, as well as, very importantly, clean ourselves inside out, mentally as well as spiritually and physically, so that we can hear that voice and those tones, so that we can make that jump at the proper moments, because it's a multi-level task we're doing. We'll be going through different stations, and we have to be prepared for it. And the master explained years ago on how they're toning us in, and you'll hear that tone in our ring in our ears sometimes. And the master explained that that's the ancient ones toning us in, because we would have to be on a certain tone and level of vibration. So he was explaining how we have a lot to learn in a very short bit of time.
When you said you make stops at different points, explain right. That part, what you really mean by that.
And the master explained one stop would be on Mars. It'd be a transport. We'll be transported to different levels. The Hinuat,
okay.
That 50. You also have the cylinder crafts. You also have the planet ship, which cannot come inside this atmosphere.
Sure.
And one of the important things which Father Baga Noon has explained to us is that he's given us all these different avenues, because the devil is tracing his path or his words. So you don't give up your end game when you don't know who's on your team. So we're getting different instructions, like one point we'll be going to Mars, another one we might go to the moon, another one will be a spiritual ascension, all these different avenues, for one, not to expose which plan we're taking.
Which.
Also, the master explained how some of us are from different spots within the different galaxies. And he will have to whisper in our ear to let us know where we're actually from. You follow what I'm saying? When we say Orion, Orion is huge. You know, we look, okay, Orion, Sirius, you're talking about millions of different planets and things like that. So the master explained how we're all different in a sense. So that's why he said, the example he gave is, one person might be from a planet where they pray once every 100 years. And he said, you might be a person that only needs to pray once in your lifetime, one sincere prayer. That's all you need. And you're just as spiritual as somebody else who might be from a planet where they pray 100 times a day. So if they pray 99 times, they're lacking what they need. So each and every one of us is different, just like with our diets. But the master said he would make a blanket statement because he's not out right now. For example, cheese. He said, don't eat cheese. And then he said, had to come back and say, well, some of you all can eat cheese. But if you don't, it's not going to hurt you. So I make a blanket statement to everybody. So the master is giving instructions, blanket instructions, so that it will reach different individuals who need to hear certain parts of it. Just like the doctrine. For example, some people say, well, why are we still stuck in the Bible? Why don't we still get biblical quotes? Part of our Negro race who are still in the Bible, who need biblical quotes to reawaken. And those who have passed from that gate can read that as an instruction to someone they might meet. Not that you necessarily need that for your growth, but might be for the next person's growth. You follow what I'm saying? So again, since the master Padmabhavi Anun is not amongst us, well, before he was able to pull you aside or give you certain instructions, he has to give blanket statements. And this transition to the next realm or to the next galaxy or making up out of here, the master is given many different avenues for that same thing. And if once we start cleaning ourselves out, where the dream walker will speak to you in your dreams, and he's even doing that, where he's coming into
that's,
our dreams.
That's the note I'm on right there, but like you said, you don't want to disclose too much, like you just explained. So
correct.
How do you get, like when people, if you listen to different people with their dreams and their visions, the puzzles actually fit together if you actually sit down and listen to what each one is saying.
Correct. But so the thing about dreams is they're for the individual. And many times, people will take a dream and try to make it for everyone.
Yeah, but it's not for everyone. It's for that individual.
For that
so
individual.
How do you separate the ones that's, if you know that's just for you,
correct,
and that's just for you, but then the ones that supposed to be put the puzzle together to make it for the whole, how would we?
That's the job of the master teacher. To put the puzzle together for the whole. You follow what I'm saying? We as student teachers, and we are all student teachers. But when I say student teachers, I just don't mean us up here teaching. All of us who are student teachers are all getting a piece of the puzzle. Because as we read the Padmabhavi and the actual facts and the master's secrets, we all see different things in them. That's why you'll be building with family member, and they say something, you're like, oh, I didn't get that. Oh, I see what you're saying now. We all get different pieces. But it's going to take the master to come together, you follow, like he would always do. And when we have questions, we get to a point and we get stuck. And we have to go over and say, Pops, we've been talking and just like that. And probably, you know, and we all walk away with the same thought in mind, like, ah, I get it now. You follow? So we're still waiting. You know, that's the master's job, to put all the pieces together. You follow? That's why he said he's always skipping and jumping around, you know, to keep them off his track. And it'll get a point where he said he'll sit us all down. It's like, this is why I did everything I did. And it's just to make it to that level so we can get the explanation from the master. And then he can sit you down. And then when you had a dream, you can say, Pops, you told me in a dream, such and such. I either come back to you in a dream or I'll tell you now what it means. You follow what I'm saying? So as dreams, it's for that individual. You follow? For that individual. Like as Pops said, if it was for more than one of y'all, I would have came to both of y'all in a dream. There's no need for you to tell me what Pop told you to tell me in a dream when he could just came to me. You know what I'm saying? So we all waiting for, well, we shouldn't be waiting, we should be making it so our master teacher returns.
Yeah.
And it all makes sense.
It does.
All right? Tell you, right behind me.
Hands up again.
Hands up.
Last week, the last teacher was speaking on how Padmabhavi Anun has said that when you leave your body, there's a piece of your body that's still alive, and that's why when you see mummies, their nails are long and their hair is still growing. But once your soul or your mental state leaves your body, how is it that it returns to it? It's already been dried out and things like that. Or can you just throw it in some water, the whole body in some water, and it pulls back up with your brain? I mean, I don't understand. Everything has somewhat died. How can you return to it so simply?
That was the purpose behind mummification. And it was done so that they could preserve at least one gene. You follow? And as long as one gene is preserved, then they will be able to reanimate that gene. You follow what I'm saying? That's why they mummified the body, to preserve it. So when they return, you know, that's one way of coming back and reanimating the body. There are different ways in which it can be done. That's one way in which they did it. You know, so all these grave robbers and things like that, they're desecrating our ancestors. That's what that actually is. Digging up our dead is a great desecration. And it was done for a purpose, mummification. So that when they return, they can reanimate and use that body if need be. So, you know, and again, when the body dies, it just returns to the dust and from which it came. But the dust is alive. A different form of living, but it is alive. Everything on this planet is alive. Rocks are alive. Animals, you know what I mean? Rocks have spirit. Trees have spirit. They're all alive. You follow? And they can be all used by a master who can use any of those inanimate objects to animate them if need be. Okay? Yes.
Hotep. Are there other galaxies with a different, like the same amount of planets as the Milky Way?
Other galaxies?
Yeah, besides this galaxy.
I mean, there are literally billions of different galaxies. And which ones have life forms, the master hasn't explained yet. You know, he did tell us that, you know, even in Leon, he said, it's so many other stories, you know. But once, he said, he explained it as this, because we asked him that question about other galaxies, other planets, life on other planets. And the master teacher explained it like this. He said on Risk, they teach the children that you all are a fairy tale. They look at you all like a fairy tale. And only the elite scientists knew about this grooming of beings that look like them in a distant, faraway solar system. You know, you're all like a myth to them. And we laughed, and he said that you shouldn't laugh because that's the way y'all look at us. He said, y'all don't really believe that we exist on another planet, and I'm from there, and that we came to get our children, and you all look like us. He said, because if you all did, you wouldn't do half the things you do. He said, so when you all start believing me, I'll tell you about other stories from other galaxies. That's what he told us about that. Tell
you. You were speaking earlier that the extraterrestrials abduct humans for the adrenaline.
Correct.
The adrenaline. Did you say it was life? The adrenaline elongated life?
It's a life force, yes.
So, I understand that when an extraterrestrial abducts a human, their adrenaline is pumping like
correct.
This and that. And I know that there's a whole process that Bob has explained in the previous updates a long time ago, that they take the human body and do all this nasty, terrible stuff to it. But at that moment that you're abducted, your adrenaline is like all the way up there. So when they take that process to clean it and do all the things that they do before they actually eat it or do whatever they're going to do, doesn't that adrenaline decrease? I mean, shouldn't they just... I don't mean to sound, you know, as though I'm heartless, but... wouldn't it make sense to just I'm sorry if I'm forgetting my train of thought. But.
When the master was speaking about, first of all, extraterrestrial is very, very broad. And he was explaining there are a group of extraterrestrials who love the adrenaline of humans. You follow? And these extraterrestrials don't eat humans, they absorb their energy, and that prolongs them. It's like a drug to them. You follow? And he said these are the ones who influence filmmakers to create all these movies, which stimulate that adrenaline, you follow, so that they can utilize that. It was a group of extraterrestrials, a group of Greys, if I'm correct, I checked, or Copians, Greys, or one of the two, but they would take this, it's like, like a drug for them, and they would get humans to be induced in a high state of adrenaline, and they would, you know, influence us so they can tap that from us. And, you know, anybody, you ever see a car race on TV and things like that, and you get pumping, and it produces a chemical, and they actually use that and take it from us. You follow? So a lot of times movies are just big drug labs where they're taking our adrenaline. And some of y'all might remember a commercial with Alec Baldwin, I think. And he turned into an extraterrestrial, and with a straw, slurping it out of humans' heads. And he was just like, you know, he made a joke out of it. But check it out, it's for Hulu. Go check out a whole Hulu commercial. Probably find on YouTube. And it has him turn into an extraterrestrial, sipping, and Master say exactly what they do. They take that from us. But the extraterrestrials coming from us, the Master explained, they get scared when that adrenaline, we get that adrenaline rush. Because that adrenaline rush produces what's called fight or flight. And once they do that, once we get to that mode, they don't know if we're going to snap into beast mode or not. So he said they'll just back away from us. So that's different, you know. So different extraterrestrials are here for different things. You follow? And he said our ancestors wouldn't produce that. It would be a common feeling. You know, and many times, he said they'll come in the guise of a relative who you were close to, because that would decrease that adrenaline, and they would be able to get a message across in that form.
Okay, when you said the beings that eat your energy, right?
Correct.
The adrenaline, that's what they're after. So would you say that to not use your emotions or you know, not change your colors and vibrations, would that be a way to stop them from eating your energy, like they would lose interest?
Said not using your emotions?
Yeah, not getting your adrenaline to go up.
Well, that's one of the purposes of the mind scroll of the Master, you know, transcribed, as well as many of the meditation rituals and things like that, to know when and where to utilize your emotions. Your emotions can be very damaging if used incorrectly. You follow what I'm saying? So definitely we have to be in control of how we utilize our energy and how much we give, you know, give it out, and, you know, things like that. And the Master explained how they society, the way they have it structured, is purposely to keep us in a state of semi-agitation. So that adrenaline is almost, it's like at a level, at any moment it's going to go off. If we look at our from the moment you wake up, most of the time, you got an alarm clock, you're rushing to work, you follow what I'm saying? You're throwing something together, you have to get out, you're in traffic, or you're trying to catch the bus, or you follow what I'm saying? You're doing all these things, and you don't know, you're in a slight state of agitation. And now with cell phones, every little bump or beep or sound, you're like grabbing the cell phone, you're waiting to see who's gonna call you, you're at your job, most of the time you're stressed out at your job because you're usually don't want to be there. You're doing something you really don't like. So you're worried about your boss coming. Is he going to see you on his phone? Is he going to see you on the website you shouldn't be on? Is he going to catch you slapping? Are you going to lose, you know, all these things? Are you going to be late for lunch, getting back to work? What are you going to eat for lunch? I want to eat healthy, but I run out of money. I'm doing all these different things. And you're steadily, you know, even when you get home, you can't unwind, you know, the kids running around the house, or you got homework if you're in school, or you got to clean your house, or you gotta run out and do this, you follow what I'm saying? And when you finally sit down at night, a lot of times you put on a movie which is gonna upset you, or you're gonna put on the news which has some doomsday or something going on. So if you really look at it, throughout your day, from the moment you wake to when you go to sleep at shadow hours, you're in a semi-state of agitation. And every little thing can flip it, and it sends a chemical. It sends a chemical to the brain, and it sends a chemical throughout your body. And there are beings who are utilizing that, and they're purposely doing things to promote that. They're doing things constantly to promote us in a state of agitation.
So is it almost like you have to stay in a state of meditation, or like, you know, having the Om tone go off in your head, you know, just kind of like stay in that mode as a way to
counteract? It's a stay in a mode of reality of what really matters. You follow what I'm saying? And that, again, goes back to the ninth gate of becoming God. You make your life what you want it to be. And once you do that, certain things do not matter anymore. You follow what I'm saying? I'll give you an example. And I always used to think on Tamaray that we had it hard. So I came out here and I was like, phew. I mean, I'm like, man, for 10 years, I couldn't care less about a credit score. Or, you know, we think about, you know, how easy we had it, where, you know, we didn't have an alarm clock. You know, you woke up to go to work doing something that you were more than likely happy to be doing, a progression. You know what I mean? All the simple things in life. You know, I remember one time the master said we was Pedro probably remember. Probably he once stole Miami. So he probably remembered the incident. But we were arguing about something, and my pops was like, look at you. We laughing at us like, y'all arguing about a hammer. About who stole your peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But you're not worried about bills, the welfare of your children, locking your doors at night. You're not really worried about the economy because you set up your own. All these different things. Now, Eaton has a little stressed out, but that was one battle. But if you really look at it, how many other things that we weren't stressed about? Even set up to the point we had a movie theater of our own, so you know we didn't have to worry about that. Everything was set up for our own benefit, and the stress level was decreased.